but I wasn't gonna miss it.
Oh no, cause you know, it was funny because you were like, I don't do porn anymore. I'm like, woman, you know damn good where you come on this show and we'll find something to talk about and have fun, which you have a lot to talk about because you are a stand-up comedian and a growing, rising standing comedian, and you've been doing some work.
Yeah, I'm a stand-up comedian, and I also have a clothing brand called The Leftovers, where I take clothes and that are headed to the landfill, and I recycle them into new clothes. For example, this top that I'm wearing right here is a top that's by my brand. I don't want to mess with my phone too much, because when I was trying to call you, it, like, broke. The holder broke, so it's, like, being held together by a rubber band right now. So we're just going to leave that at that.
Oh, yeah.
I think right here, give me 1 second. I swear. I'll be on my car too much, so everything's in here. Anyways, I guess I'll look for it later. I was going to show you the skirt part, but I don't know where it is at the moment. You can kind of see right here. I had taken the bottom of the sweater and cut it right here, and then I turned the bottom of the sweater upside down and put in an elastic waistband, so I had like a little mini skirt that goes with this. If you want to check it out, you could go to my Instagram, which is The Leftovers by Kylie, for those of you who don't know me or don't know who I am. I am Kylie BBW, and we're here interviewing on the Smoker's Lounge. Thank you so much for having me.
Repeat caller. and y'all know she's one of our favorite smoke buddies, because I interviewed you. You were one of the ones I interviewed in year one. You know, and she's part of the reason why I got nominated, people, because some of her interviews got a lot of views, people. People kind of love hearing that smile, hear her talk her shit.
Yeah, it's interesting because I was working with this one company, and we were participating in a documentary that never came to fruition. But the girl who was hosting the documentary, she had hit me up, and she was like, she kept trying to convince me that I needed to do ASMR. Like, you know, everybody thinks their own voice is annoying. I think that's just part of being human. Mm-hmm. But she was like, I find your voice mesmerizing. And the guy who edits the video, she was like, he said it's the first time he ever got goosebumps from listening to somebody talk. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. I mean, for me, like, it's just hard organizing it all. I hope there comes a point where Kylie has management, because it's like trying to do the social media and the makeup and run the pages and respond to the customers and all that. It's too fucking much, bro.
Oh, you talk to the choir here, because I'm like, man, it's like I find myself, it take me a day or two to get to episodes, to upload them and stuff like that, because man, it's like I can't wait to get to the point where I can pay somebody to do all this fucking shit.
Right.
That's the tedious pain in the ass, is the marketing, the promoting, the editing, the uploading, and stuff like that. This fun part here, recording this shit, is me.
Well, and I think that for girls like myself, I know that there was a transition where they were using external parties for page management. Mm-hmm. I personally didn't use that option. My page isn't big enough. I'm sorry, they're like really blowing up my Instagram right now. My page isn't big enough for me to have utilized that option. But I have noticed on Twitter that I'm sorry, it's one person liking every single picture in my Instagram. I call this picture raping, and I don't think it's a compliment, because it takes over the content of my phone. Like, for example, how you and I are trying to do the interview right now, this person going through liking every single picture in my Instagram is, I really hate it. Sometimes if I can catch them in the middle, I'll message them and be like, if you don't stop, I'm going to block you. Don't do it. I get it. Like, I understand that's the point. They're trying to do it and give you fanfare, but it's like, I'm neurodivergent. I have ADHD. So about the third time that the phone pings, I'm ready to throw it at the fucking wall.
See, what we say you have what is called pretty girl problems. See, that way, because you were so fine.
You know, I think everybody has their own level of self-esteem. So a lot of times the way that I see myself is like a geek, a middle-aged mom, you know, like I don't see that myself that way, but I understand that. I have a girl who is my friend, but I say girlfriend. I'm like 40, so you know, I always say my girlfriends. So I have a girl who is my friend, and it's so funny because she's like, Kylie, you always complain about people trying to talk to you or people trying to hit on you, but you're on your page looking like a buttered ham with your ass all out. Like,
no, because it was like, even to the point when I first ran across the page, the smokers, I was like, damn, she is gorgeous.
I think, you know what's so funny is, there's been like, it's a hard transition because it was like, excuse me. My Instagram page was my clothing sales page. Mm-hmm. And then associated with the fact that Instagram is discriminatory towards both sex workers and plus size people, I go through a cycle where I'm always losing my pages. So my page that I'm using right now was supposed to be my clothing page. But I've been using it for my video, my adult stuff too. And it's so crazy because when I try to post something for my clothing, it's like 8 likes, 24 likes.
When you post something about that adult film, boy, it blows.
Yeah. Oh, it goes all the way up. Like, like, bitch, this is what we're here for. But
so with that being said,
I've talked about this on here before. I do believe that I am on the spectrum, and there are things that are associated with that that I've learned about myself that it helps me process and understand. And one of the things is if I'm not 100% with something, if I don't feel 100% safe or that things are on the up and up, I just won't fuck with it. Yeah. And not last December, but the December before, when there was the transition, it's like, oh, the STDs are hiding in our booty holes and our mouths. Oh, now there's a new STD. I think it's called Imogen. Like,
yeah,
you know, those changes were just so shocking to me. And then on top of that fact, when I got involved with like the content houses, I always knew there was a connection between porn and prostitution. Yeah. But then when I got involved with the content houses, I saw how intimate that connection is. You know, like here we're at the content house and everybody is tested, but 3 or 4 of the girls are going to go bust dates while we're at the house. Okay. When you initiate that action, the testing is no longer valid. So that made me feel like not only are there all these new problems associated with the diseases, but the tools that we're using to manage them, there's such a close relationship in the industry with prostitution that those tools are really getting negated by the choices that women make. So it was just all a really lot for me. And then also I was having trouble. There was a couple of things. When you come from prostitution, you're ready to fuck instantly. You have to be. You've been doing it for years. And I think a lot of women get into porn because they are prostitutes or they are survival sex workers. And it's how you make yourself like a higher genre, a higher quality of that. But it's different for the men. The men get into it associated with ego, associated with, I got the best dick and I'm going to slang it all over the internet. And that disconnect is hard for me as someone coming from the escorting industry because these gentlemen are there based on ego. So there was still like a bit of a courting process. And I'm not here to court you. I'm here to fuck. Like, I paid to get here. I don't have time to waste. I'm not going to make you feel like you're handsome. I'm not going to be grabbing you a plate or whatever bullshit you think I'm going to do because you're some hotshot porn guy. Like, don't, bro. Okay, I haven't said this, and this is going to be some hot tea. And I'm so sorry because I think this person has been kind for me, but this is how it went. So when I was at an event, I met Rico. And when we were at the event, there was another performer there that he had asked to borrow money from. Now, the girls at the event are all kind of making fun, you know, of this situation. But the girl that he had asked, they had known each other a long time, you know, but still was kind of like, So then after I leave the event, he starts messaging me kind of pretending like to be friendly. But then also asking for money. And so I was like, okay, you know, like, this is like, you're supposed to be the hotshot porn guy. You're supposed to be like the top dog, but really you're surviving off of asking for handouts from the women that you're encountering. So this is what happened. So I saw on Twitter, a regular, a vanilla person, just a vanilla bitch, posted, I used to be a huge fan of Rico, but somehow we ended up in the DMs and he asked me for money and I haven't rubbed one out to him since.
Now, people, you heard what Gayle King said, right? Now you're hearing what a former porn star slash comedian is saying, and a vanilla woman.
Yes. Yes, I didn't think of that reference, but yes, it is exactly like the Gayle King story. Like, you know, you meet these people and you think they have it all together. And, you know, I'm not going to lie. I didn't have, like, I think that was a courteous person. I didn't have a negative encounter, but those were the types of things that were happening.
But it makes you look at them differently.
Because they're prostituting themselves. They're the prostitute. At the end of the day, you're there. You're selling your dick. You know you have good dick, so you're utilizing that to try to get money. So, like, now whenever I see a woman, like, out to dinner with him on his story or whatever, I know that that bitch is paying for that experience.
And she, too, also...
And then, like, also,
see, that also hurts him professionally.
Because that's what I said about the Twitter thing. Like, here's some girl, some regular girl, lifelong fan of yours, who's like, oh, I don't masturbate to him anymore because he asked me for money. Like, oh, geez, Lord Jesus. But you have to, that's kind of like, I hate to say this, but that might be kind of a microaggression type thing because they're doing the best they can to survive. Black men who go into the porn industry are used in a similar format to the way the NBA or the NFL uses these gentlemen. They are used as a tool. They're used as an asset of the company. So they don't always have the money that they need, not because they're not doing their job or not because they're not out there performing, but because the way the porn industry is structured is to get their performer to survive off as little as possible. And then on top of that, you added the tubes. So now everybody can get porn for free. So it's like, a lot of times, and that's what I had to learn. Like, I wasn't getting paid for my videos. I think I got, you go and you meet up with these people and you collab and you hope that the money comes back on the back end. And sometimes it doesn't, sometimes it doesn't. And like, what I know one time, and I think I might've shared this story on here before, but I flew to Vegas to work with a gentleman, you know, real popular in the game gentleman. And so I, you know, it's like, collab style, so I pay for my ticket, I pay for my room, he's gonna come through. Well, when I get there, he messages me and is like, oh, I'm sorry, but I'm contracted with the bigger companies, so I'm gonna have to go to LA, I'm so sorry. And I'm like, when things like that happen, I feel like you've stolen from my home. I have a child, you knew. Now I have invested all of this money in you keeping your word, and now that I'm here, you didn't do that. So now I feel like you've taken resources from my home. So, you know, but I was trying to be cool because Kylie is cantankerous and I've burned a lot of bridges in porn. So I didn't want to burn anymore. Right. So then later in the night, the same guy messages me and is like, oh, well, I'm just leaving the gym. Do you want me to come by your room? And I was like, wait a minute. Like, what do you mean? You told me earlier you had left for Los Angeles. Oh no, I decided I'm gonna leave in the morning, but if you want me to slide through, okay, pause. You knew this is like what you had planned. What is happening right now is what you had planned. You never planned to collab with me. You planned to get me to Vegas so that you could fuck on me off of camera. And like, that was my experience a lot with the porn industries. Like, producers think I'm attractive, but they don't want to put me in their videos. You know, like, I was at one content event where one producer who still follows my page, likes all my pictures, the whole shit, would not shoot with me at the content event, but pulled me in their room to ask me if they could pay for me to suck their dick because they're such a big fan of mine and watch my videos. Now, if you go to these content events, you understand that the structure of them is like, it's so funny. It's kind of back-end fearful because they try to set the structure that you can't do any escorting while you're there because it could get them in trouble, but really they are hoeing on the outside. But, you know, I'm a follow-the-rules type gal. So I was like, I told the guy, like, no, I'm sorry, I can't do that. And he kept trying to convince me, and I said, all I can say is that if I was to work for you, you would understand that I'm a trustworthy person. It's against the rules, and I'm not going to do that. But, you know, that was like a common relationship for me with men in the industry. Like, I think you're attractive, or like, or I'm only like, I worked with one, a younger gentleman, real hot boy gentleman. And it would be like, well, I'll let you suck my dick, but I won't, I don't want to fuck. And actually that's how I ended up getting my series, Who Wants to Get Their Dick Sucked? Because I was at a content event. And when I was approaching the people who, they didn't want to work with me, but I've been a hoochie long time, so nobody's gonna turn down some head. So I started walking around the house and being like, do you want to get, can I suck your dick? Do you mind if I suck your dick? And in the end, it turned into a 7-video series, which I released in diminishing order, like, okay, see how fast she could do it this week, you know? That was like, in order for me to work, I wouldn't say that I necessarily had to lower myself, but it's definitely harder to put this platinum.
Because see, for you saying this, because as a guy who's been a producer and was a male time for 15 years, we were taught, I don't know about this fucking generation, because this generation is fucked up. I keep telling everybody this, 95% of the men in this business are lames. Lanes. So if anybody got an issue with that, hit Dog Holler. That ain't my problem.
Sorry, guys.
That's all good, baby. They used to us adjusting. But to me, it's about marketability. When I look at Kylie BBW from the first time I laid eyes on you, before you cut the hair, after you cut the hair, the outfits, your scenes, everything about you is marketability and money. So to me, that's what I mean by a lot of these guys that get to this business, they're not in it to make money. They're not in it to get an AVN. They're not in it to be the top of the echelon in this business. They're in it because they figured out this is the only way they can get some fucking pussy. Because they can't get outside. You know, period. That's why you see
these money. I'm not going to lie. I cannot judge them for that because I
can. You ain't got to. I will.
Nah, just hold on. Just hear me out. I cannot judge them for that. Because in that, I have been evaluating my relationship with sex work, kind of closing that chapter of my life. I do, in the back of my mind, be like, I don't get this much dick in my vanilla life. Before I was a sex worker, you know, people was trying to pick me up by the bathroom so their boys didn't know. Now they gonna pull through, drop off some money, fuck me down good and leave, you know? Like, I think about that relationship too, that when you are in the adult world, there is so much easier access to sex. And I like sex. I enjoy sex so much. I was either making reckless decisions or opening myself up to people who were not worthy of me in order to get, you know, what I wanted. So I think about that, like, being in porn kind of gives you access to, like, the not just the platinum pussy, but the platinum peens too.
But see, to me, this is why I say I judge. If me and Kylie BBW decide to do content trade, I'm already guaranteed the pussy. I'm already guaranteed the pussy. I ain't got to worry about trying to take her out, holler at none of this shit. But it's work. It's work. So if I'm going to bring her here, yeah, I'm going to fuck her. Yeah, we know this. But the point is, I brought her there because I know that these scenes would sell. So for me to sit here and think with my dick, first of all, if this is the only way you get pussy and you can't get pussy, it's the difference between I'm consciously making sacrifices so I can work. So I turn away pussy or not worry about trying to get pussy because I know that one, some of these motherfuckers don't want to wear condoms. Two, I do have a shoot I have to do. I'm paying $400 for a goddamn test that I need to be clean on.
That part.
You get me? Plus, on top of that, I don't know if this woman married. I don't know if she got kids. She may not even like me like that. She may feel the same way I feel. You cute and all, but I'm fucking you because I see that me and you work well together and we can make money. You get what I'm saying? So anytime a dude bring personal to a business, I will judge him. Because at the end of the day, that tells me that you ain't got game outside of porn, and that's the very reason why you in porn. I got in porn reluctantly. Pussy was not an issue. I was getting banging girls well before porn. My Mac game was on point. We talking about back in the day, you had to talk on the phone to a girl on them chat lines. I didn't see that what they looked like. They didn't see what I looked like. So you had to have a talk game. So to me, when dudes act like that, just like we talked about with the content house, it shouldn't take her saying, "What do you want me to suck your dick for these motherfuckers to work with you? You already a money maker."
Yeah, dude, it for surely did. I was shocked. I was really like, hey, I don't know. You know, once you get up in it, there's like ego problems. Some people work with BBW, some won't. You know, like just all kinds of different things. Mm-hmm. But I do want to circle back to something that you had just mentioned in reference to condoms, though, because when I started in the adult industry in 2013, I started in escorting. Mm-hmm. At the time, performing bareback blowjob was it was not something we were doing. It was unheard of.
No.
So then I retire in 2014. In 2017, I came back into the industry, right? Mm-hmm. And I noticed it's a little bit more requested, but I'm like, okay. When I went on tour two summers ago with, I won't name anybody, but the other porn girls, the other big
girls. I gotta go back to the episode. I gotta go back to Primo Smoke Room episode.
Yeah, go back some episodes. When I went on tour with the other hoes, they tried to tell me you have to do bareback blowjob. And at first I was like, no, I'm not going to do it. There's no way I'm not doing it. And then I noticed as I'm going that I wasn't making any money because the other girls are doing it. So then the hand of the industry was forced to where I had to start doing that. And then another girl, another well-known BBW porn performer came on tour with us. And it was the same exact cycle where she tried to say the boundary, no, this is not something that I'm doing. And it ended up being something that she had to do. Because initially, I think that person thought that I don't want to say more attractive because I feel like we are friends, but I think she did feel superior to me based on her qualities, maybe her age, maybe, you know, her attributes. And so when I was getting more money than her, she was like, what the fuck? But it was the bareback blowjob difference. Yeah. So then when she started doing it, you know, I watched that process very intimately. Mm-hmm. And the reason why I tell this story is because right now, we are in the same exact tradition, the same exact cycle with bareback full service. And these girls are out here fucking raw. They're fucking without condoms. And
but you know why, right? I said this before.
It's two things. The first thing is that we're in a recession. The hand of there's no money to be had. And if one girl is willing to do it at a cheap rate without a condom, and that girl's gonna start getting the money, then it forces the other girls to start doing it. So that's 50%.
See, too, also the saturation that happened with the OnlyFans, no different than what happened with the Bush era, when they had a recession with the Bush era, where everybody gravitated to Craigslist and Backpage. You end up having women. I noticed when it comes to this sex work business, it's very competitive. And so competitive, because what you done dealt with traveling with girls, I seen this when me and wife used to travel with girls. that get jealous because the girl making more money than her or what have you. So guess what they do? They lower their price, which increased their shit.
Right.
When you have a bunch of females doing that, it makes other females do it because we're in a copycat culture.
Right.
You know, dude. And the bareback, before you start, it came into existence during the Bush, the Backpage, and the Craigslist era, because you had so much of an influx of girls doing sex work that it brought the quality of sex work down, as well as the safety.
Yeah.
Because now where a quick visit, actually, there was no such thing as a quick visit. Let's just keep it 100. They want one. When they were doing it in the newspaper, they want a quick visit. You had to come for an hour, and it was 100 or better.
Right. Well, when you get into the relationship of legalities, too, they advise you not to offer a quick visit, because when you're advertising it as time as the product, lawyers sell time, doctors sell time. Time is legal to sell. But then when you say quick visit, that is advertising sex. So that, but my feeling, and I validate what you're saying. I didn't think of it that way. But the other reason why I think there's a big problem with the bareback is PrEP, the implementation of PrEP. So if you're already forced to be a survival sex worker, now the hand of the industry in the recession has forced you to fuck without condoms. Okay, I'm going to go put myself on PrEP and it's going to be okay. Because like recently I was working and I wasn't making the money that I was used to making. You know, things just didn't seem right. So there was one girl I could see. I stay in a hotel where I could see the whole hotel. So I could see this one room. She was having tons of clients. So I went outside looking cute, like standing outside my room, you know. So when one of the clients came out of her room, I'm like, hey, come here. Let me talk to you. So I got him up in my room and I was like, hey, like, do you want to see me too? And he said, do you do bear? And I said, no. And he said, she do bear. And walked straight out the fucking door. And this was like an attractive, thick black, like I considered her an attractive black woman, but I understand that in this industry that black women have to make more sacrifices than I make. So that was sad for me, because what I would have traditionally considered a quality woman is here, you know, fucking people without condoms. Like, okay, girl, I don't know, sometimes you want a front intervention hose, but every time you try to do that, it doesn't work. They're there for a reason.
No, they don't want to hear you, because to them, when you're doing, when you're an escort that does porn, you have more to lose than if you're just a regular escort. Because when you're a porn star, if you come up dirty, the world knows it. Because of the simple fact of TTS and all these sites that you got to go to, you know, period. When you're an escort, if you get dirty, ain't nobody going to fucking know. Hell, you don't even know if the goddamn Johns are cleaning walking in the door.
Right.
You know, period. So it's kind of like they have nothing to lose but more to gain. While us, people that's in the industry that does it, we have more to lose and really not much to gain.
That's what I've been trying to explain to the clients. Like when they're texting me and they're like, oh, do you do bareback full service? I'm like, look, bro, if you find somebody who does, she already got something. She has nothing else to lose. And that is the only reason she would be willing to fuck a stranger without a condom. Like that is so crazy to me, but they don't care. There's, you know, some people just have a compulsion in them that goes beyond their own health and safety concerns. But when I got in the industry in 2013, the only reason you would fuck a trick without a condom is because you already had HIV or herpes or something else going on. And that was the only reason. So I'm like, okay, that was the pool, right? In 2013, all the people swimming in the bareback full service pool were swimming there because they already had something. And now all the other regular hoes are jumping in the pool because of the recession and the economy. Oh no, that pool's already in.
Well, see, that's why so many girls are changing how they move in the industry. Girls are now looking to get content partners. You know what I'm saying? Some of the girls are doing more fetish and less boy girl. You know what I'm saying? Because of the simple fact of that, one, let's keep it 100, the TTS test done got more expensive. That's one. Because if you're not making enough to offset you taking that TTS, and add to it, if you ain't going to a content house and you're now depending upon John and Larry to show the fuck up for these shoots, and they don't show up, that's money you lost.
Right.
You can't even get the fuck back. And them motherfuckers ain't gonna give it to you. So that's the reason why a lot of girls are now changing how they do things in the industry because of all of this. Because of saturation, dudes coming in, and also girls escorting more now. Because now, thanks to OnlyFans, more escorts are now filming.
Right.
And they want to film versus when I got in the game, you know what they used to say to me about content trade? I don't fuck for free. I don't fuck for free. Even though she getting copy of the content, because I'm not paying her up front, that's free.
No, that's all it is now.
That's all. Yeah, it was free because the girls won't try to do content like that. You know, period. And that's the difference now, is that when girls start going to back page, it was the trick. They wasn't worried about trying to show their face. They didn't want their face seen. Now, shit. Them girls got OnlyFans, a twist.
You have to. That's the crazy part about it. Like, the other day, this lady, there's this girl, and she came on my Instagram, and she was like, I had posted a picture of my son when he was very young. Like, I don't know, the picture is probably 10 years old, but I posted a picture of my son, and she commented, posting your child where you post your porn is wild. Now, I don't feel like I post my porn on Instagram. I feel like I post my semi-nudes. I will say I'm not anybody's angel, but I'm sucking dick on Twitter, so I don't feel like I'm posting my porn on Instagram. But
let's be realistic. How many of these Instagram models post their fucking family, post their kids, at the same token post them busting one open?
Not only that, but with the concept that you were just talking about, where it's like, oh, if you want to be a porn star, you also have to be on Twitch and blah, 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 blah. In order for us to get verified, you have to put your real name. So if you have a Instagram and you go through the process of verification, now your full real government name is right there. You're not even using your porn name anymore. Or like the fact that Instagram is linked with Facebook. So now when I'm trying to post my Instagram, that shit is recommending on Facebook. And I tell it not to recommend to my page. So it's not posting on my page, but it's still get a notification that, 2,000 people have watched this video through Facebook. I'm like, oh, okay, you know, like, I guess. But it's the progression has gone where even if you are as diligent as you can be, it is very hard to keep your family life separated. But also, I feel like I understand. I'm not trying to negate from the fact that we are trying to protect our children. I'm not trying to negate from the concept that is the idea. But I do have a struggle with the concept that here are a bunch of women who are out professional fucking. We are the fuckers of the best fuckers of the world. And we want to have the disconnect that there ain't a tribe of kids running around from the best pussy on the planet. Like, we got kids, baby. There's lots of kids.
Yeah. But see, what's interesting is that now in this day and age, porn stars have to reveal more. It ain't like back in the day where, before social media, where you didn't even know about her regular life, nor did you give a shit. Now they really give a shit. These fans really give a shit seeing you regularly.
When you're going to like the, when we had the pandemic and they changed the Why Not conferences to be online, they talked about the principle of how you have to feed your safe for work content, because the people who find you through your porn content are already conditioned to get porn for free. They know where to find porn. So it is the people who find you through your safe for work content who are like, oh my God, I can't believe this all girl also busts it down. Let me buy it right now.
Yeah. Because to be honest with you, but see, yeah, actually, because the simple fact of that, the more vanilla people that don't surf porn, but they watch, surf Instagram, surf YouTube, listen to podcasts. You know what I'm saying? So, hell, be honest with you, at your comedy show. Let's keep it 100. I'm pretty sure after she did a stand-up comedy and they figured out she did porn, some of them motherfuckers wouldn't subscribe.
Oh, girl, not, no, they buy pussy. They buy a pussy after the show.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You get what I'm saying?
Comedy contest. I won the comedy contest, got $100. After the comedy contest, I ended up getting a date for another $250. I ended up going home with $350 from the comedy show. I said, oh, man, this is paying good. I be getting up there talking about fat pussy. Everybody got to try it. It's like a warm hug for your dick. They say, yeah, I would like to try that.
See, that's what I'm saying. So it's like, so that's why I tell females, opportunities outside of porn helps your porn. Because even if you're retired and you're not doing anything, because they seen you outside of that spectrum, you're now creating new fans for your old shit.
Yeah.
You know, period.
Yeah, it builds that customer longevity. And also, you know, with the fact that porn is so easily accessible and so prevalent, some people are burnt out on the content of it, you know? And so when you offer diversified content, it's like a, it's a palate refresher. It's that little lemon sorbet that they give you in the middle of your steak dinner, you know, it lightens things up and it gives them the chance to, enjoy something new. But definitely I echo the thing, like building that customer longevity, having them be attached to your character and not just, you know, the content of your videos.
Yeah, because to be honest with you, the money is in the character. It's no longer in the porn.
Yeah, because honestly, like, I would say that, okay, so I would say that my fan favorite video of mine that people like the most of mine, I do not feel like I look good in it. I don't feel like I look flattering. It's my BBW Burgers video that I did with Finney's Playhouse. So it's like me and him pretending to be Bob's Burgers, and he's Bob and I'm Linda, and I have the whole Linda wig and the double chin and the glasses. And
oh shit,
I would not consider it my most flattering look, but based on the content and people's connection with the show, I feel like it's my most, like, when the fans see me, they're like, oh yeah, I've seen BBW Burgers.
But see, that's why I kept saying with porn, we need to get back to the storytelling, the cinematic shit like that, which you're just talking about doing the Bob Burgers. Because one, when we had porn like that, it made the fan respect the porn star even more. And it gave us more value. This era devalued us because it made it seem like anybody, everybody can do what me and this woman does on camera all the time.
Bro, that's so funny. People, I always say that because people will be like, when people say like, oh, I know you, or oh, I know you're a porn star, I always say, well, you know, it only takes two good home videos to become a porn star.
Be honest with you, in a cell phone, that's it. Hey, I do a porn. And that shit be garbage as fuck. Dude can't even keep his dick hard in about 6 minutes.
I would say what I felt like it took for me to be like an actual porn star was after I got hired by Jeff's Models, then I could go through the verification process on like Pornhub and the other websites. So once you go through that verification process, when it says, oh, list the performer, I could put myself on there. And then like with on the X videos platform, once that had happened, then I had like a separate page specifically for myself that directed towards me, that wasn't my page that I was hosting. It was something they were hosting because I was considered one of their, you know, featured stars. That's what the first time I met Jay Playhard, he was like, you're on the main page of X videos. And I don't ever see myself or my own videos or even consider myself a star, but he was like really impressed by that. And then the other day, I have a girlfriend who is like, I don't know if you've ever had a friend who, like, you could tell they're curious about the freakiness. They might want to let the freak out, but they're still on that reserved side. So I got a friend like this, and I always, you know, I encourage her. I give her, like, toys and my lingerie for my shoots. Once I'm done with it, I give it to her because we're similar sizes, right? Mm-hmm. So the other day, we don't usually talk about these things, but she was like, yeah, so I was laid down and, you know, my son was gone. So I thought, oh, I'll just have a little private time to myself. So I went to pull up Pornhub and I typed in BBW and BBC and you were the first thing that popped up. And I said, you know what? That's God tell me I'm not supposed to be here.
Oh my God, that's some shit. You go to rub one out, you see your best friend.
Like, yeah, in the back of my mind, I was like, I mean, like, I not that I want her to or I have any fantasy that she would, but in the back of my mind, I'm like, bitch, it's good. You should have watched it.
I'm saying, like, I wouldn't be mad when my homeboy said, you know, I rub one out to one of your videos, nigga. That girl, you
I mean, it's just a different energy for women because men are constantly telling me that. My guy friends don't have no problem being like, yeah, bitch, I checked out all your videos. But, you know, your girlfriends, they feel... My girlfriend's in the industry, of course,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
There's a lot of talk in the industry about the relationship where women try to edit their own content and end up masturbating during the editing. Mm-hmm. So women in the industry, yeah, they're watching it all. But your vanilla girlfriends, they always want to pretend. And I just feel like, isn't that a little bit like if your best friend cuts hair and you go get a different barber? Like, hey, bitch, you not going to support my business?
I'm saying that. Then I need that view.
Right. Yeah, it's hella funny too because the same friend, like, I try, you know, their boundaries, like, they're reserved, but I help style them, and it always stands out in my head. This one time I was helping her put on some pantyhose and she's like, get them up in there, get them up in, like, in between her thighs, and I'm like, oh my God, like, it scared me. She's like, bitch, I know you've seen a pussy before. Just not this one. But I had that experience with a gentleman at a content party. I don't know if anybody's familiar with Open Legs Media, but I have, I love Larry. I'm a huge fan of Larry. He's married. Shout out to his beautiful wife. So he is very professional, but I have a very big crush on Larry. So we at a content party with Riley Rabbit was hosting this event, a little relay race, right? So we do the little relay race, and then at the end, he goes in to take a shower. And so I did not know he was in there. I just, like, walked in the house, and I opened the door, and Larry was standing there in a towel. And, oh, my God, I was blushing. I was shy. I ran out. Like, oh, my God, no. And you got to understand, this is an event where everybody's naked. People are fucking on the couch. Like,
yeah.
It's busted down, busted open time. But not that one, baby. That reserved dick. I was embarrassed to see.
No, it's what we don't ever talk about when you get to meet your crush.
Yes. Okay, I'll tell you. I already met her. It's Daphne. Thick ass Daphne is my porn crush. And okay, so she came and she was working with the lesbian media. Anyway, she was there with the content company that manages her. And so when I first seen her, I was completely starstruck. I was like, oh my God. But I was like trying to be cool. But when I saw her, she was dressed very effeminate because she was taking her pictures. So, okay, cool. Well, the end of the afternoon or the evening comes and she went up in a room and she came out in that do-rag and the makeup off. Oh, my God. My little clit just swelled up right there. Like, oh, well, she came out in that little masculine look that she got. I'm like, oh, Daphne. I told her. But I have a desire to work with her just because I know she's, like, really good at sucking dick. And I'm trying to get on the Mount Rushmore dick sucking with her and a couple of other people.
I dare say that you halfway there, if not already there from the shit that I seen. Cause damn, every time I see you suck a dick, my dick get hard. I'm sorry.
Man,
I didn't say that about every female.
It's so bad.
I love making her blush. I just love making her blush. Go ahead.
Well, yeah, I'm laughing. Okay, so I got a little friend, I got a little friend, kind of my boyfriend, kind of not my boyfriend, kind of whatever. Mm-hmm. So they're a very promiscuous person. But mm-hmm. for the last 2 years before this, they always would tell me, oh, you're dick sucker of the year, dick sucker of the year, right? So this year for 2023, they did not tell me this, and I felt so motherfucking ego challenged that this morning I messaged them and I said, so I'm just curious who the 2023 dick sucker of the year is, because I'm gonna have to challenge him to a cage fight for the title. I don't lose, bitch. What? I suck your dick off your body. What? Ooh, who took over? I need to know.
Girl, you gonna make me. I already got a crush on her. She's making the crush stronger, ladies and gentlemen.
You know what's crazy? It's like, sometimes people will look at me and that does not develop for them. Like, oh, I already got a crush on you. But if you spend an hour with me and we talk, it doesn't matter if you initially felt I was not attractive. After that time getting to know me, people always find me attractive. It's the funniest thing. Like one night,
I found you attractive before the conversation. When I saw the pictures, I was like, oh my God, you just don't understand. I'm like, yes, she is my kind. She is my kind.
It's so funny. Okay. Like, I always tell people that I feel like my life is like Clark Kent and Superman, because when I'm home and I'm my son's mom, you know, that's Clark Kent. I'm not really dressed up. As a matter of fact, I try to keep it like a little bit dowdy, because when I, you know, my son is 15 years old, everybody's masturbating. As a matter of fact, oh my God. So the other day, you know, you go through that time. Okay, catch him. Now, I have always explained to my son, like, this is a normal part of life. I started masturbating when I was 8 years old. So he's much older than that. You know, this is a normal part of life. But when I found out about it, I was mad. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to go through his search log and see, like, you know, make sure everything is cool. Make sure there's no fucking weird shit.
Yeah.
Oh, I was so, why was it all BBW MILFs? So I'm like, you're looking, I don't want to ask the awkward question, you know, like.
Yeah.
Because all the other people in my life who I know who watch porn have been like, Kylie, you come up. And so I'm like, oh my God, like, did I accidentally pop up for my son who is building his relationship or discovering his relationship with those things? And then the other thing that happened was a lot of his search is like my friends. And not that he knows they're my friends, because he doesn't have access to those things, you know, like he's not on my social media and stuff like that. But it's like you have this conflict of like, I wouldn't necessarily say being the cool mom or whatever.
Yeah.
But like, Kazumi's up in there a lot. And when my son turns 21, if he wants to go meet Kazumi, because that's my friend and he really big fan of hers, I will take him to do that. We will do that. You know, not 18. Not 18. But 21, it's on and popping. You want to go see what AVN is and see that life? Yeah, I'll let you go. I don't necessarily.
I already told my well, the daughter's living with me now, not my oldest, but my youngest, Bonnie. I told her, I said, ain't no way in hell I can have you in the industry, because I couldn't go to no AVNs. I couldn't even, because I know she's very pretty. Uh-huh. So if she ever stepped in the industry, a lot of motherfuckers want to work with her. And with her being my daughter and the knowledge I probably give her, probably the same motherfuckers I run with, she probably end up shooting with. And I hate to be the one that had to punch a dude in the face.
Right. You know, but that they talk about that relationship. I'm not trying to, I hate for this word to even fly out of my mouth. I'm not trying to give the perception that I'm trying to groom my son. But they do talk about the relationship where people are generally looser or more okay with what a boy would do than a girl. But I don't want my
to be honest with you, because him, let's keep it 100. Even the videos that I watched and grew up in, they were older women. They weren't teenagers. Emmanuel, she was in her 30s. The lady that did Young Lady Chatterley, when she did that movie, she was late 20s, early 30s. You know, Kelly Richards, huge fan of hers. You know what I'm saying? She wasn't that young. And plus, in this day and age now, the older woman is winning. Because that's what people want to see. They don't want to see no young bitch no more.
I'm not gonna lie. I feel like that with like my hair turning gray and cutting it off and like the developments I've had in myself in the last year or so, I feel like I've gained popularity because I'm stepping into my MILF era. So I definitely like it's like I stepped into a different genre. Like maybe the BBW genre is overcrowded, but they had room for me in the MILF one or something.
Oh yeah.
But so this is how I feel about it. I don't mind. I'm not trying to say anything to like offend anybody or anything, but the concept or the principle, the book, the Oedipus complex came out long before we were even born. So the principle that people are attracted to the imagery of their mother is a long-term principle. As awkward as that might motherfucking be, it's a part of the world. So I do like I don't know, I don't have the opportunity to look at any other 15-year-olds porn searches, so I don't know what they're looking up, but that's definitely what I thought.
I already know it was like when I think back, like my mama was skinny. But I always been attracted to BB Dubs, you know, period. Because one, they always had a big ass and bigger titties, you know, period. I'm the dude that I see the girl in the club, skinny girl come up to me, I'm like, what's up with your big girl? That was me. That was me. I heard a lot of skinny girls' feelings back in the day. But the point being is that it wasn't that they remind me of that. It's how can I put this? The women that we choose is the personality of the mother that we kind of, because they kind of remind us of a woman that we revered or we grew up with. Yeah, we kind of choose along that lines. For sure. You know, period. But it was kind of like with me, mine was different because it probably was like my aunts, the bigger women. Okay, it was just something about bigger women that just turned me on. It's not a fetishness or anything of that nature. No, it's just, I like my women with meat. I don't want no toothpick. I want a toothpick. I got one right here I can pick my teeth with. I don't get it. Even if she's skinny, she got to have some damn. She got to have some big tits and a fat ass. Goddamn.
I be feeling that way too. Like, I'm just not attracted. There is a girl that I did link up with that was a thin girl. Yeah. I did it was a really fantastic experience because we ended up having sex with her dude as well, and he knew what to do to please her, and her seeing her reactionary to that or having him guide me in that manner, like I really enjoyed that. But that's the only time I've ever messed with a skinny bitch. Like, I like bitches that look like me. And also, like, skinny bitches are weird, dog. Like, not all of them, and I'm not trying to hate on anybody, but I've been a prostitute for a long time. What happens is that a lot of couples hire me because the women think that because I am bigger than them, that their men will not be genuinely attracted to me. And the relationship of that just put me in a weird place with skinny women. Like, first of all, bitch, no, he likes me just the same as he likes you. It's when I meet a man and I'm getting to know them, if they make the statement, well, I like all women, I know they'll fuck anything. You'll fuck a toothless woman. You will fuck a dog face woman. You will fuck, if you say I like women, I'll be like, okay.
See, it's a double caveat for that. Now, don't get it twisted. Men, come on. Who you think came with the term pussy has no face?
I never heard that.
Pussy has no face. Every man, it like this. Yes, we will fuck anything. If it's because you want to know why? Y'all get dick when you want it. We get pussy when it's available. So if it's an ugly chick.
I like beautiful men, but I like ugly people because ugly people fuck with more heart. They is really going to put the passion on you. They are really going to try to make you come 7 times before them. Like, people who are not maybe necessarily aesthetically attractive is really trying to put that dick down or that pussy down. Like, oh, yeah. I had this talk. I have a friend who's a rap star, and, you know, people sometimes say, like, they feel like that person is accessible to women that they shouldn't be. And I had to explain to, like, one of their friends, like, it has nothing to do with that. It has to do with the fact that the uglies fuck with more heart. Like,
yeah,
I try to get the best pussy. I don't care what the bitch look like.
Because they just keep it 100. It has always been the case. That's why, if you notice, a lot of the male talents are not greatly attractive.
I have a really hard time with that. And, like, they're aging out. A lot of the respected male talent is aging out. And I know that those are ageist perspectives. I understand that. But nobody in this industry has had no problems telling me that they weren't attractive to me or why they didn't want to work with me. And I don't feel any problem saying that I'm not attracted to, you know, a lot of the, like, senior performers. Like, I remember one time I was watching a senior gentleman performer work, and I'm sitting there staring at him, and all I can think about is, like, watching his ass, which is no longer firm with age, and the way it's moving, and just thinking about how these geriatric cheeks are clapping in front of me. Like, I don't have your big ass dick in me for me to be dickmatized by this experience. I just have this view, and this is not necessarily attractive. So I know that's terrible. Like, I feel like I'm not really doing porn.
Like this. Women, they can go into old age. Men, truthfully, we kind of can't, because as we get older, less women find us attractive. Unless they are really into older men like that. And there's not a lot of women that's into older men as much as people think.
And that brings up a good point, because one of the jokes that I have in my stand-up comedy is that women don't buy porn. Men buy porn. So when you get into, you know, these different content parties and you get to working with the men get in this industry thinking, oh, I'm gonna slang this dick and I'm gonna fuck all the bad bitches. No, you're not, because they're not buying porn. You're gonna sit at a round table with your homeboys and discuss what you are comfortable doing. And the things that I have heard with those discussions are like, oh, well, I'm comfortable fucking a pillow and pretending it's a man, you know? Or, like, one time I listened to two famous male performers discuss whether or not they were comfortable winking their asshole on camera for another man. So when I'm doing my comedy, you know, that's what I'm talking about. Like, oh yeah, you know, like, everybody asks me, how do you get into porn? Well, women don't buy porn. So you got to ask yourself, are you comfortable winking your asshole for another man? And if you are, meet me after the show. I got a collab for you. That's one of my jokes.
I'll bring the guy meeting you after the show, because I have no issue. I got a dude now talking about offering me $200 just to jerk off in front of him. I said, that's cool, long as we ain't fucking. I had no issue jerking off in front of you. Not one issue. But the $200 now.
My dad was a circle jerk guy. I know that sounds totally weird to say, but my mom was an oversharer. So I know from my youth, it was an activity that my dad and his friends who grew up together enjoyed watching porn, and they didn't mind jacking off in front of each other. So that's, like, just something that men, you know, feel comfortable about themselves, because when women are amongst women, we don't judge women for being comfortable with each other's bodies nude. If women want to be titties out and everybody's having a good time, it's no big deal. We only put that type of stigmatization on men.
Well, if you want to be honest, it's more of Black men that have the comfortability, the discomfort of that, you know, because, like I said, we can't even talk about our own sexuality like that. If we wanted to, not to our best friends or anything like that.
It becomes a precarious place, because there's, like, a weaponized feminization of the Black male that's happening. So it's like, even if I do want to admit this tenderness or, you know, whatever about myself, I have to protect that for the culture, because we're being attacked in the manner where our men are being feminized. Yeah. Not our men, but, you know, that's I have a mixed race child, and I don't get everything right, and I'm coachable, but I try to educate myself so I can be a supportive friend to my Black peers and be a supportive parent to my son. So that's where I'm not trying to speak for Black people, but that is my understanding of what's going on there.
Oh no, you know how this podcast is. We want honest opinions here. We don't want sugarcoat nothing.
Right.
If I'm gonna talk to you, because you're gonna give your 100% honest opinion.
Oh my god, I can't help it, bro. If I could lie, it would probably be better. I think I'm a huge fan of Eliza Allure. She has done so much for me. She's mentored me. One time she sent me $100 out of the blue just to support me, didn't say nothing. I love Eliza. But part of being on the spectrum is if something goes wrong, I have to say something about it. And we've been in a couple of circumstances where that has happened. And now I swear she just thinks I'm a fucking troublemaker. And I feel so bad because I like her. I respect her. She gave me so many chances in the industry. But if something is going wrong, I'm to say something. Like, for example, we went to a photo shoot that she was hosting, and she has never done anything wrong, but the photographer had shot another girl before me, and he made a statement to his partner, who was not supposed to be there. He said about the girl's BBL, he said, "How much is too much?" And the girl is considered to be more attractive than me in the industry, and this was my first major shoot with a company, you know, so that made me uncomfortable the rest of the time I was there. And then when we got our photos back, the girl that he was talking shit about, he took like 500 pictures of, and then me, I only got 100 pictures. So that felt like an additional validation that your work performance was based on like attractiveness. And then like, when I talked to the girl, she was like, "Well, I felt like he was kind of fanboying on me like that, and that's why we had so many pictures."
But see, that's why I said with dudes, we are way more pettier. The five things y'all say, women say, "Fuck a dude," it takes a half of one for us, and we won't tell you. We say, "Fuck you," you know, period. Because to me, that's where I think the disconnect happens. Because I always treated each model, no matter what their size was, the same. And the reason why, because at the end of the fucking day, fellas, they are the money. It doesn't matter if she's a big girl, she's a small girl. They are the money. The only reason why you're making money, because she's on your fucking site, my friend. So you have to treat every model equally, regardless of color, shape, size, or what have you. And I hate when dudes treat the smaller model a certain way, but treat the big girl a certain way. You know, if he did 500 with her, he should have did 500 with you. Now, the only reason why I can see why he did less with you, because you probably was a better model. But him saying that, versus, because to me as a photographer, if it takes me 500 to get the photos I need, but it took me 100 with her, that means she was a better model. I ain't have to go through so much direction. She was hitting the poses that I want. Versus this other girl, I had to really direct. "No, I need you to do it like this. I need you to hold your hand like this," you know, period. But if I did it because, well, this model here is better looking than this one, I'm not professional. And that's what I mean. There's not enough professional people in the industry like it used to be. It's too saturated with the amateurs. It's too saturated with the content creators. It's too saturated with the niggas that's in it for pussy. You know, period. And on the women's side, it's too saturated for females that want to look at this as a hustle and not a business. Because when you treat it as a hustle, you're not going to take it as serious.
Right.
Because it's a hustle. Because to you, it's temporary. You know, it's a temporary stop. Instead of using it as a stepping stone, they're using it as a means to an end. No, porn is not a means to the end. It's a stepping stone to greater shit.
Right.
It just depends on what that great shit is.
Right. It's kind of like how the social media companies use us. Like, you get it off the back of porn stars and then you move on to working with credit card companies.
Basically, that's the whole point. Because like I said, even to the point, like, even with you, me and you in a similar situation. Right now, you head towards retirement. You found something else to chase while becoming retired. Same thing with me with podcasting. With you, it's comedy.
Right. You know, it's my comedy and it's my clothes. I had My highest goal in life is to be a Proverbs 31 woman. And I looked at the content of my life and what I had going on, and I looked at that goal and I said, these two things do not align. The activities that you're doing are not aligning with this thing that you do. So when you look at Proverbs 31 and it talks about what this woman is, and for those of you who don't know, that's what the description of a good wife in the Bible. You know, it says that she purchases a vineyard and she grows from that, and she makes clothes and she sells them to the merchants, and she gets up before her servants and she has portions ready for them, and she makes sure that the needy are taken care of. And so when I was looking, it says her family has no fear for winter, for they are clothed in scarlet. And when I started looking at that, I said, okay, so then I started sewing the clothes, which I already knew how to do, and then giving those to my loved ones. And then I just started like growing from that, because I did, when the STD changes started coming, that scared the motherfucking shit out of me, dog. I have a kid.
It made me glad I retired.
Yeah. And then plus on top of that, I got up into it to see, like, look, I'm not going to say that all porn stars are escorts. I will say there are no porn stars I have met who are not escorts. That's what I'm going to leave at. Because that's just how, what the industry was. I've said this on this podcast, and you've repeated that I said it. Porn is the commercials for selling pussy. When I didn't make porn, this pussy was low grade. I wasn't doing my marketing. I wasn't doing my advertising. I didn't have that cereal commercial. And when I started making porn, now I got that Walmart ad. Now I got that commercial that's on every network. And now the money is coming in. And it's all about marketing. But that is the same for your pussy, just the same as it is for any other business.
Yeah, because that's why the girls, the IG girls, the ones that you think don't got nothing on their OnlyFans, no, they got a fuck scene up there. The reason for it is controversy creates cash. Yep. It's to drive traffic to their site and to build up the following. So when they step to a Fashion Nova, when they step to some of these companies, they have the numbers to sit here and get that money. Because that's all it is, to drive the numbers.
That's actually also one of the tips that I've learned in, like, through learning about the marketing and stuff. Sometimes it's a good idea to leave something wrong in your pictures, because the people are going to comment on it, and then that's going to get it up in the algorithm. So, you know, people love to make corrections. They love to tell you you're wrong, and they're going to take the opportunity to do that. I had to learn that. Like, I didn't intend to get famous on Facebook Marketplace, but I'm on Facebook Marketplace. And it was very fortunate that I was a porn star before I was a Facebook Marketplace merchant, because they came and they made so many nasty comments about my body and that I shouldn't be selling clothes, and why not just put it on the hanger and all of these things. And all of those people who had those nasty intentions towards me did not realize I was already an internet scientist, and there wasn't nothing you could say to me that had not already been said. And I also knew the principle that the algorithm does not recognize whether a comment is negative or whether a comment is positive. It only recognizes the activity. So any comment that you leave for me, all press is good press. And that's how that was going.
Because the whole point is that what drives the algorithm is negativity.
Right.
It trust and believe. I don't think positivity ever drive the algorithm in the history of the internet. It's always with some type of negative shit, negative woman, we call it. You know.
And period. I think that I believe that they're right now initiating a new antitrust lawsuit against Facebook in association with this for children. I think that's happening right now, going on. I'm so sorry to do this, but we're a little bit over the hour.
I know. I was about to close it down, but we were talking so good. I was trying to find a moment to close down. So with that being said,
I'm like pulled over in a McDonald's parking lot in the middle of the freeway.
hey, you spoke.
I was gonna get it done today. But I gotta get the rest of the way home.
No doubt. So tell everybody, one, where they can see you do your comedy, and two, where they can spend money on you.
Okay, so if you would like to see, first of all, if you put Kylie BBW into Google, it will pull up all of my content. It will pull up comedy. It's going to pull up porn. It's going to pull up my sewing. All of it's going to come up. So you can search Kylie BBW or my screen name, all is one word. It's Kylie BBW on Google. If you're just looking specifically for my comedy videos, you want to check me out on YouTube. And if you are looking for my adult content, the best place for that would be on Twitter or X, where I have my original handle, which is at It's Kylie BBW. If you were looking for more information on my clothes, then you would want to go to all one word Instagram handle, The Leftovers by Kylie. It's called The Leftovers because I recycle old clothes that were intended for the landfill into new clothes. Check out the movie True Cost. Our addiction to clothing trickles down to nations of color in a bad way, in a waste that they don't deserve. So,
see, this is why I love talking to her, because you see the example of a woman that's an adult film. She has more layers than what y'all see, and she is a great woman in every which way. And y'all do need to check out her stand-up comedy, because she's funny as fuck, and she had me rolling with some of them damn clips that I saw. So,
thank you. It's so weird. I have a friend, and at their birthday party, T.I. started his stand-up. That's where T.I. started. And then a little shortly after that, Too Short is like their play dad. So then Too Short started. And so I have this thing called delusional optimism. So naturally, next in the progression of that was Kylie. So when I asked them, like, hey, will you help me do stand-up comedy? They said, yeah. And it's just been, you know, working out ever since. I never would have thought that this was something that would happen in my life, but I really am diligently working on it. My son goes to college in 2 years, and I am hoping that my comedy path and that path align to where maybe I'm being invited to start touring once I'm in.
Yeah, because I'm ready, and I'm manifesting seeing her with a Netflix special one day.
Hopefully.
And I can sit there and say, I interviewed her. I know her.
Right, right. Make sure to take out all the bad clips once I get famous. I'm not trying to get canceled.
Oh, my God. So there you go, people. We had the end of a wonderful episode. I hope y'all enjoyed Kylie BBW. And she made me smile and laugh. You can see why she's one of my crushes, people. And it was before I even met her. I liked her before I met her, ladies and gentlemen. So with that being said, you know how we end these things all day, every day. Life is a learning experience. What's the point of the experience? If you haven't learned anything, smoke this over. Say goodbye to them, baby.
Bye, guys. Thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you next time.